It's taken from the book of Zechariah, page 951. It's in two parts, beginning chapter 2, verse 1, and then continuing in chapter 2 on verse 10. Zechariah chapter 2, verse 1. Then I looked up, and there before me was a man with a measuring line in his hand. I asked, "Where are you going?" He answered me, "To measure Jerusalem, to find out how wide and how long it is." Then the angel who was speaking to me left, and another angel came to meet him and said to him, "Run, tell that young man, Jerusalem will be a city without walls because of the great number of men and livestock in it, and I myself will be a wall of fire around it, declares the Lord, and I will be its glory within. Shout and be glad, O daughter of Zion, for I am coming, and I will live among you, declares the Lord. Many nations will be joined with the Lord in that day, and will become my people. I will live among you, and you will know that the Lord Almighty has sent me to you. The Lord will inherit Judah as his portion in the Holy Land, and will again choose Jerusalem. Be still before the Lord, all mankind, because he has roused himself from his holy dwelling." Then he showed me Joshua the high priest standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at his right side to accuse him. The Lord said to Satan, "The Lord rebuke you, Satan. The Lord, who has chosen Jerusalem, rebuke you. Is not this man a burning stick snatched from the fire?" Now Joshua was dressed in filthy clothes as he stood before the angel. The angel said to those who were standing before him, "Take off his filthy clothes." Then he said to Joshua, "See, I have taken away your sin, and I will put rich garments on you." Then I said, "Put a clean turban on his head." So they put a clean turban on his head and clothed him, while the angel of the Lord stood by. This is the word of the Lord.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that you tonight will show us again who you really are and who we are, and help us to concentrate, to really learn about these things. Amen. To avoid misunderstanding, I just want to help you to see that the Joshua Patience read for us is not the Joshua, the successor of Moses. He lived about 700 years earlier than the prophet Zechariah now. So this Joshua is another person. He is also called Yeshua. So don't be mixed up. Zechariah became a prophet in the year 520 BC. The king of Persia allowed the Israelites to turn home from exile. This was good news. But anyway, the people of God were shattered, broken-hearted, and in despair. Many were still in exile. Enemies were pressing them so hard that they had to give up the building of the temple and of the city of Jerusalem. This was the situation in the days of Zechariah. Then God began to speak through the prophet Zechariah that he was going to revive Jerusalem. Er würde Jerusalem erneuern. He said, "I am going to make Jerusalem like villages without walls." This was unthinkable for cities in those days, having no walls. "Men are going to come into that city from every direction. I am going to fill the city and its streets with men like a flock. Jerusalem is going to be revived." Just a brief illustration. There's a road accident. A person is lying down on the ground, helpless. He tries to get up and help himself, but he cannot. He falls down, and even the heartbeat stops. So emergency is coming, and then the doctor, pushing his chest and mouth-to-mouth Beatmung, and then the heartbeat starts again, and the person can live again, but not without help from outside. So the Lord will revive Jerusalem. How will it be done? Sing and rejoice, O daughter of Zion, for I am coming and will dwell in midst of you. I will live among you, says the Lord. The Lord has come, and he is going to step in right in the center, not by Jerusalem, not near Jerusalem, but in midst of her. The Lord has chosen to put his throne right in the center. And when he takes the center, deep new life springs up in every corner. When God's throne is central for us, there is no only singing and rejoicing, but sometimes there is his command: be silent, all flesh, before the Lord. Times of revival are not always as enjoyable as we read in books. A kind of fear grips God's people. There are times of shaking, and shaking brings a lot of dust to the surface. In Jerusalem, Joshua was a very important man, something like a bishop or a moderator or a senior pastor. And fortunately for Joshua, Jerusalem would be revived. The Lord himself had said it, and he can never lie. There was rumbling in the air, and Joshua must have been longing for what God would do now. Now it turned out that the first man who needed to be revived was Joshua himself. Joshua, the priest, the pastor. Then he showed me Joshua, the high priest, standing before the angel of the Lord. Zechariah doesn't tell the story saying simply, the high priest, and sparing Joshua the embarrassment of having his name there. No, that is not how the Spirit works. He is very specific. In times of revival, there's no beating about the bush. He will single out you from the crowd and deal with you by name. Joshua was standing before the Lord, a very safe place to stand. What follows is not easy for him, but anyway, there is no safer place to stand. We just sang it before, in the arms of your love, a wonderful place. And Satan standing at his right hand to accuse him. Don't imagine that when you stand in the presence of the Lord, Satan is not going to stand there too, to accuse you. Joshua did not speak a word in his own defense. Satan's accusations were pouring like water into his ears, but he had no word to say in reply or to his defense. He stood absolutely dumbfounded. And then the Lord said to Satan, the Lord rebuke you, Satan. The Lord who has chosen Jerusalem rebuke you. Is not this man, servant of mine, Joshua, the high priest, a burning stick snatched out from the fire? Isn't that great how the Lord vindicates his children, wie seine Kinder rechtfertigt und verteidigt? He spoke for Joshua to defend him. So, Let the Lord defend us too, when we stand before him, in our failure and embarrassment. Don't take up your own case. Let another take it up for you. Now Joshua was standing before the angel, clothed with filthy garments. A priest in filthy garments. And before the Lord. Perhaps it would not have looked so bad if Joshua had been wearing filthy garments somewhere else. But he was standing in the shining light of purity. We sometimes may think we are wonderful, until we stand in the presence of the one who is purity itself. It is the pure light of God that pierces through a person. We can keep our pretensions of being very holy until we stand in that light. Then, immediately, there's nowhere to hide. All our masks are torn away. All our hollow smiles fade. Revival, Erneuerung, means to be exposed for what we are. The presence of the Lord is very revealing. Joshua must have been saying, I shouldn't be like this. My garments should be shining white like his. Instead, I'm filthy, so filthy that I can't say a word. But there is encouragement for you, Joshua. The Lord himself has taken up your case, and he has never lost a case. He has ways and means to meet the needs of his servants. And the angel said to those who were standing before him, remove the filthy garments from him. And to Joshua he said, see, I have taken away your sin, and I will put rich garments on you. What the angel is really saying is this. You see, Joshua, you are no longer responsible for your sin. Your sin is the responsibility of grace. When grace of God steps into the arena, those who were guilty lose the terrible, crushing sense of guilt. They see the Son of God carrying their guilt on his mighty shoulders for them. You may wonder that here in the Old Testament, I speak about the Son of God, about Jesus, who was born about 500 years later. But you see, we only can think in line. Either we are in presence, or in future, or in the past. But we don't get that together. But for God, that this is not a problem. So when God forgives Joshua now and cleanses him, this is the anticipated work of Christ on the cross, working now in the Old Testament already. It is not an easy thing for a man to do, but more than one church leader stood before his congregation with tears running down his face and confessed that he had been living immorally. And if you think that such an act of confession is the easy way to be respected, then you don't know what it means to die. Often when a pastor makes such a confession, he is in big trouble. But new life will never come to that pastor until he resurrects from the dead. And then you meet this pastor again next Sunday, and you find people are bowing before a minister. He was dead. He is now raised from the dead. He has become a new person. His words now have power. His heart is now full of love. You can talk to him as close as man to man. He wouldn't allow you to do that before. But now he is a new person. I read about another pastor. He confessed what happened to him. One morning, while he was waiting for a troubled couple to come to him for counseling, He and his wife were quarreling. In the midst of it, there was a knock at the door.
"Shh, let's keep quiet," said the pastor.
His wife ran into the kitchen, and he ushered the couple to his study. They sat there while he counseled them how to be at peace with each other. But inside he was miserable himself. His wife came and listened behind the door as he read scriptures for them and prayed with them. When the pastor came back into the house after seeing the couple off, she looked at him and said, "So you did it." The pastor was dumbfounded. Not a word came out. Then he got angry.
"You are not cooperating,"
he shouted. Poor wife, how should she cooperate? Where should she begin? "That was a terrible morning for me," he later confessed. "I just felt I was a fake of a man. So I ran away into the bushes and knelt down and said, 'God, unless you do something for me, I'm going to quit.' There's my wife up in arms. We have been quarreling and others come for me for counseling." The Lord met this poor pastor. He confessed his wrong attitude toward his wife before the Lord. He accepted the forgiving grace of God in the death of Jesus Christ. And he had the assurance of the Holy Spirit in his conscience that he was forgiven. Then he rose from his knees, leaving his burden at the foot of the cross, and went straight to share the fresh release with his wife. There was no more need for accusing her. He was the one who knew he was guilty in the presence of the Lord. He now knew the sweetness of Christ's forgiveness. And in that freedom, he came to his wife to ask her for forgiveness. Later, he was able to share with the couple he had counseled what God had done in his heart and between him and his wife. And the Holy Spirit used this testimony of the pastor and his wife to bring the couple into the redeeming experience of Christ's love. And I have to confess, when I read this story for the first time, I remembered I have been also in that situation in relationship to my wife. And I also have felt how difficult it is to die, to confess that I am guilty, and to ask for forgiveness. It's sometimes bitter to do that. But I also experienced the freedom of forgiveness afterwards and the joy of reconciliation. When a life is set free by the forgiveness of the power of Christ, it becomes a means by which the Holy Spirit brings people from the bondage of sin into the liberty of God's children. Any guilty Joshua qualifies for God's forgiveness, for there is an open fountain for the inhabitants of Jerusalem to cleanse them from sin and uncleanness. This is written also in Zechariah chapter 13. Here we have the essential positive message for times of revival. We want to see our churches revived. We want to see people flocking in. Well, here's a pastor, Joshua, the man who's going to minister to those whom the Lord will bless in revival. But the Lord deals with him first. This is the right order in the Old Testament and in the New Testament as well. I give just two examples. If the Apostle Peter is going to preach so that the Jews in Jerusalem repent, he must be broken first. And we know that as he wept bitterly outside the judgment hall when he remembered how he failed. And then, again, Joshua, the successor of Moses, in that time, the general is going to see the walls of Jericho fall. He must fall first at the feet of the angel of God in the book of Joshua, chapter 5, we read this. Now, when Joshua was near Jericho, he looked up and saw a man standing in front of him with a drawn sword in his hand. Joshua went up to him and asked, "Are you for us or for our enemies?" "Neither," he replied. "But as commander of the army of the Lord, I have now come." Then Joshua fell face down to the ground in reverence and asked him, "What message does my Lord have for his servant?" You and I stand in the shining light of the eternal Lord of glory. And his light, whom we serve, shines upon us and shows you and shows me exactly who we are. This is the embarrassment of the pastor, but also of any other ordinary Christian, like you and me. But this is where blessing begins. If the church is going to experience new life, men flocking in like sheep, so that the walls have to be enlarged, it all begins with the high priest. He must be changed from within. Iniquity, sin must be forgiven. Yes, even the iniquity of the pastor, but also yours and mine. Today, we don't have high priests. Oh, sorry, this is not correct. The Apostle Peter writes in his letter to God's chosen people, to the followers of Christ, "You are the chosen people, the royal priests, the holy nation, God's own people, chosen to proclaim the wonderful acts of God, who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not God's people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received his mercy." Heavenly Father, we thank you that you gave us the opportunity to be under your mercy, to become forgiven, and to be renewed. Thank you that many of us have experienced this renewal, reconciliation, and new life. And we pray that, if necessary, renew us again. Wherever you put your finger into our life, make us anew.